Hello, all you growers out there. Jordan River here. Thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. I've got a bonus episode for you today. That's right, an extra one, featuring Eamon O'Kane from Valiant Grow. Eamon has built hundreds and hundreds of grow rooms, and I had a lot of questions for this guy about different laws in different markets and grow room design and insulation and climate control. So I know you're going to love today's bonus episode. No sponsors, but I did want to tell you our membership program at mygrowpass.com will be closing new member registration January 7th, everybody. That's right. You'll only be able to register until January 7th, and then we're going to close up shop, and you're not going to be able to register for a while. So you got to get in now and make sure that you're in time for the next giveaway. We're giving away one of a kind Wolfman t-shirts, or rather limited edition Wolfman t-shirts that no one else is going to get. And when you guys see these, you're going to want a piece of this action, plus all the other $5,000 worth of grow prizes that we have, everyone. So make sure to check out mygrowpass.com today and get yourself a membership before we close registration January 7th, everyone. All right, everyone, that's all for the intro here. I hope you enjoy Eamon O'Kane. I hope you guys are killing it in your grows. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share the show with a friend. I say it every time, but I really mean it. I appreciate when you guys tell a friend about the show and spread us around. Love it. Today, we have an interesting guest, kind of going a different route today. I've done a lot of episodes, and this is an interesting one. We have Eamon O'Kane from Valiant Grow on the line. How you doing, Eamon?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on your show.
Of course. Now, are you coming? Where are you coming from? As in, where are you calling from right now? And then tell me about your background and where you came from before that.
Okay. Well, I'm actually calling from Massachusetts. New Bedford, Massachusetts, is where our head office is. I actually come from Ireland, as you can probably guess by the accent.
See, that's not a Massachusetts accent I'm hearing. That's the Irish accent.
It is, and the Irish accent is getting stronger the more I stay here, to be quite honest. I came to America, 11 years ago now, whenever the recession hit in Ireland. It was pretty bad there. It was time to move on. So I came to America back 11 years ago, and that's whenever the cannabis industry in Colorado was really getting going, and there was a lot of talk about it. At that point, it was a very quick realization for us here at Valiant to realize that there was going to be a building market in this, because if it went legal in that state, it was going to go on legal in other states. So that's whenever we decided to set ourselves up as builders, primarily for the commercial building of marijuana grow facilities and dispensaries.
I love it, man. It's that Irish ingenuity. You built this country once, and now you're coming back a second time for the green rush. I think it's wise. Tell me about Valiant America. Like, what is your mission?
Our mission is to build quality facilities for the growing of marijuana. We're a very transparent company. We've been growing steadily for the past 10 years. There's three partners involved. Another Irish guy, of course, and an American guy. We all have the same work ethic. We're basically 24/7, nonstop. And it's the nature of the industry we're in as well, because if you don't answer a call that comes in the morning and you don't answer it before the afternoon, that job's probably gone. It moves that fast.
Right.
Yeah. And the learning curve is unbelievable, but it's super interesting.
I'd imagine so, man. And it's really probably cool to be on this kind of ancillary, like, margin of the market, because all you're doing is building things, but they're very specific and it needs to be done. And if someone's going to invest in a grow room and kind of go into this, let's say, high risk market, they want someone that they can trust, and they want someone specialized in the field. So
for sure, you want to do this once, and you want to do it once alone, because it is so expensive.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The basic building block of a facility, they're fairly similar, but everybody has their own ingredients, from the lights right through to the irrigation system. It's totally different to each one. So that's what makes the whole process totally and utterly unique and interesting to each and every grow.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you about building out grow rooms, especially because my audience is growers. So I want to talk about grow room design and, you know, some tips and tricks, maybe some mistakes to avoid. But first, I want to talk about more of a overview here and just kind of talk about your work and Valiant and what it's doing. I'm always interested in state markets and how state markets vary from one another. And I like to ask people who run companies like yours that are nationwide, when it comes to those state markets, who's making it easy? Who's making it hard? Like, you know, I hear that it's a nightmare in some states. I hear in Oklahoma, it's $2,500 for across the board for a license. I hear some people are paying $500,000 in another state to grow, you know, hemp or process hemp, whatever it is. What are your thoughts when it comes to the levels of leniency between states?
Across the board, it's very difficult at times because each and every state has their own regulations. And within each and every state regulation, every town has its own regulations. So it's very difficult to, even the easiest states to get a license doesn't mean it's the easiest state to build in. For example, I'll talk about Massachusetts is super complicated. Whenever this started 5 years ago, we had to sit down with state fire department, town fire department, building department, and the CCC to actually get everybody's regulations to start trying to match up, because what works for the building department doesn't work for the CCC, vice versa, and the same. And whenever you have the state fire department coming in, they have final say. So going into other states, it's the same thing. It's getting a lot tighter, but it's very loose on like the regulation part, because most people and most new states don't really know what these things are until they start immersing themselves into it. As I said, Massachusetts has really got it. They've got it down to a fine art pretty much now. The CCC knows exactly, what they want, and their regulations and their inspections show that. But going to other states, it's... It's you have to learn a whole new set of rules.
What about the legacy states like Colorado, California, Oregon?
We actually stay away from those states because there's so much competition down there right now. There's a lot of good builders and stuff. They don't need us down there at all. We'd be kind of wasting our time if we tried to go and break into those states, you know, with the markets already so well established.
Yeah, and there's so many better ones coming up, I'd imagine, that...
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and they've learned their lessons down there. They're 10 years deep into this industry. So they've got some unbelievable builders.
Yeah, I love that. And I love to see the overall progression and who copies a different system and who forges their own way. So, I'm super interested in that.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get a system that people are copying because of the regulations and how secret the actual industry is.
Right.
Everybody has their own little recipe of how they want things. Even whenever we're handing one of a facility over, for example, like we are not allowed to see their fertigation system whenever it's totally finished, their building management system of how they regulate the rooms and all that. That's something that as soon as we're out. You know, you don't come back in unless you have permission.
Yeah, that's really interesting. The trade secrets get tied up in it, and it really does complicate things. Yeah, it does. I wanted to ask
but everybody's different.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, speaking of differences, you like that transition? Smooth as butter. What's being built out right now the most? Are you seeing grow spaces still blowing up in your markets, or is
Absolutely.
It? Are
we thought we'd seen a downturn at the start of the year in grow facilities, but we were very much incorrect within 2 months of having that assumption. The grow facilities, and we're talking anywhere from 50,000 above to like 140,000, have started to explode all over the place.
Holy shit!
Especially down the eastern seaboard.
Wow!
Like nobody's talking about a 20,000 square foot grow. It's like the smallest one we have at the minute are 50. The biggest one's like 140. We've just finished like a 150,000 square foot grow in Massachusetts. But there's some really big ones coming online. That we thought would never get off the ground, but they're coming.
It's cool, man. I like that a lot. Yeah. What about like extraction facilities and testing labs? You know, I've seen a huge explosion in the extraction market and the testing market.
We actually thought that there was going to be a niche market for extraction and extraction only for other people's product within the States. But what we're seeing is, I can tell you right now that everything that comes across our table has an extraction lab in it.
Oh.
Everybody's built it. Everybody is who has a decent sized grow
has an in-house lab.
Has an in-house lab. Well, they don't have a testing lab, but they definitely have an extraction.
Okay, that makes so much sense.
Oh yeah, totally.
As I could imagine, that would cause some issues with certain states' regulations, though. Are they cool with you processing and growing in the same space? I mean, I'm just making an assumption. I don't know if they are cool with that.
They are absolutely. As long as there's a lot more stringent regulations to building an extraction lab,
mm-hmm.
everything has to be like basically explosive proof.
Right.
So the cost of your lab is quite expensive. You know, even if it's only 2,000 square foot, you're up there in the hundreds of thousands of dollars before you put in your extraction equipment.
Damn. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, there's lots of money. Unbelievable amount of money that's getting spent on these facilities.
Before we jump back in with Eamon O'Kane, I just want to remind you guys, you got to go to mygrowpass.com before January 7th. We are closing membership registration. If you missed it in the intro, I'm here to tell you, get yourself a GrowPass membership before we close registration January 7th, everybody. What comes with a GrowPass membership? Well, you've heard of all the incredible discounts, like 20% off Soham soils, 25% off of fish shit, 25% off sweet leaf nutrients. We have over a dozen well-respected partners that get deep, deep exclusive discounts. No one else gets these discounts, people, so you can save money with your membership, make back your membership fee, and then some every single month. We also have the member podcast, ad-free, releases every Wednesday. Me and Wolfman, me and Travers, me and Rich talking growing. We have the giveaways, $5,000 in prizes given away every quarter. We have the cultivation resources, grow journal up there, you know, nutrient deficiency charts, VPD charts, super soil recipe, FFJ recipe. Oh my God, there's so much with the GrowPass program. I'm not even going to be able to fit it in this ad, everyone. You just got to go to mygrowpass.com, check out everything we got going, the live streams, the AMAs. We're going to institute a live chat. Sign up today, people, before we close membership registration January 7th. You're not going to want to miss out on the next giveaway, everyone. Mygrowpass.com. All right, let's get back to the show, everybody. Now, here in America, we tend to do our consumption at home. Largely, or like, you know, in at least discreetly in public, you know, or vaping or something like that. If you go to a country like Amsterdam, the coffee shops, there's places to consume. And man, I love that system so much. I think it makes more sense in a city like Amsterdam just because people are out walking and biking and taking the public transit system anyway. So you can just stop off. I think it's less effective in, like, you know, the Chicagoland suburbs, or I'd imagine where you are when you're in a car on a freeway and it's not as easy to just pop off into a little coffee shop or whatever. But what I'm coming about in a roundabout way is, what about consumption sites? Like, I know I was super fascinated. The listeners have heard my strange obsession with the Oklahoma law where you can consume cannabis anywhere you can consume tobacco. So people were sparking up in the aforementioned Buffalo Wild Wings, aforementioned on the show. So are these lounges popping up anywhere?
They are. It's a very slow rollout, but there is. We've got plans for at least 7 that have these lounges attached from the dispensary. And they're very much like a very relaxed hangout space for people that want to smoke cannabis and vape or whatever. It's a very unusual concept for us because it's new in our radar, but it's very interesting, and I think it has legs. I do think it's going to be a thing in the future,
for sure. Yeah,
but they're definitely popping up now. A couple of years ago, you would have never heard of any of these type areas for smoking cannabis.
Right.
But as I said recently, and we're talking in the last 6 months, we've seen an upturn in this kind of space attached to dispensaries.
Where is this happening?
This is happening in Massachusetts.
Damn, that's cool, man.
We've seen it out in Western Massachusetts. There's actually a very committed crowd out there that they want to try and get as many of these spaces licensed as possible. Not actually dispensary location, but like a speakeasy type location where people can go on and smoke their marijuana.
I love that, man. Just make sure you take an Uber home, and that's fair play right there.
Absolutely.
So That's going to present you with different challenges too, because I'm sure it's going to be all about ventilation and aesthetic design and theme and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have got a great team behind us. We actually work with a crowd called Smoking Interiors, who they're phenomenal at fitting out. Like, you give a concept over, whether it's a beach concept or a log cabin concept, whichever concept you want, they'll come back to you with these unbelievable designs, which we can implement fairly easily. But our biggest issue is definitely the odor mitigation. Mm. So, because it's getting very strict on odor mitigation outside of the buildings, the ventilation inside. Yeah,
I didn't pay much attention to that in my time in Amsterdam, but I do know that I saw there was so much ventilation that inside the smokiness wasn't a problem. But I'm sure you could probably smell it from outside, and people don't want that in the States, I'd imagine.
Absolutely not. Like, there's all sorts of regulations. The filter technology that has come across in the past 5 years is getting better and better all the time, but it's one of those odors that's very, very tough to mistake, and it's very tough to get rid of.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and even carbon filters, they'll work for maybe 3 to 4 months, and they're very expensive to refit.
Yeah, that's so, a big expense for a small business.
Oh, for a small business, ridiculous. Like, I think we changed out carbon filters on one filter for a facility there not so long ago, and it was around $7,000.
Jesus.
Yeah, these carbon cores that we had to pull out of it. And that was only one filter. Mm-hmm. You know, so it can get quite expensive.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. And, you know,
the technology needs to catch up with us.
Here's the thing. That's fine if you don't want your city street smelling like weed, but you can't do that and then also have the, like, Sriracha hot sauce factory that was, like, blinding people in their backyards. You have to give me one or the other. You either keep the Sriracha factory and let me smoke my pot and blow it out in the street, or you get rid of both of them.
or even the beef farm that's up the road with about 1,000 head of cattle.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. Don't get me started, man. Driving down the 80 cross country, it's like, it's toxic if the wind is blowing the right way or the wrong way, I suppose. I feel like I could talk to you for a long time, man. You're easy to talk to. We should move into growing, though, because that's what this show is about, after all. I do like to rap about the cannabis industry and talk to my guests, but my audience is saying, let's talk grow rooms, man. So let's do it. How many have you seen? How many grow rooms have you seen / built?
Hundreds.
So then talk to me. Let's talk about some common mistakes or oversights or, you know, holes in people's games when it comes to grow room design. Like, what are some things that you see that people are missing out on?
Well, what we see is, like, the typical size of a grow room, like in a commercial application, we have seen that around 2,500 square feet is about your key size that the engineers can work with and keep the climate perfect. We've seen mistakes in the insulation of the walls and even the way the walls are fitted together, let alone, like, if you even drill a hole in one of these walls, people don't understand that you have to make sure that you're sealed in there. We've also seen mistakes in lighting outside of the doors, which can cause the plants to go nuts. Apparently, my grow knowledge is limited, but it's from the years we've been at this, I've seen different mistakes. And then there's a new one coming in where there's a fairly ingenious engineer that we're working with, and he's looked at the whole system and he's like, guys, everybody puts the air in from the top and it never saturates all the way to the very bottom of the plant. So we're actually doing a prototype building for him where he's actually putting the air in from the bottom, because of course hot air rises.
That's smart.
Very smart, because you usually have the returns on the bottom end of the lower end of the wall, and you're blowing the cooler air in from the top. So he's doing this totally different system, which I think so far it's been yielding good results. But this is another step on in the future of how to grow cannabis. You know, it's everybody every day comes out with something new. It's an unbelievable business for that. The technology, even for the mold mitigation part of it, like, there's people coming out with all sorts of gadgets and gizmos to try and stop that from happening as well.
Yeah. You know, I would always keep my intake low for that reason. But what I'm imagining is kind of like a grate in the floor and some sort of upward intake.
Yes.
That would be cool, man. I like that a lot.
Something in totally in reverse, and it's definitely worth trying. And this guy's willing to try it. you know, and I'm like, oh, yo, this is anything that's innovative, we want to be part of. So we're there installing it for them, and hopefully, really it'll cool. work, hopefully it works out.
Man, a lot of do-it-yourselfers like myself, I totally overlooked insulation when I was building out my grow room, which was inside of a shed, which was uninsulated. And oh my God, I ran into the worst issues when it came to the sun and with heat. I mean, yes. Talk to me about how you battle heat, the sun, all that stuff, and climate.
Okay, well, normally there's different methods. People sometimes use green board, sheetrock, something like that there. If you use that material, unfortunately, you're going to have issues trying to keep your climate regulated. We have found that basically the easiest term is, you know, the industrial fridges you get in a restaurant?
Uh-huh.
That type of wall structure.
Okay.
We generally call them zip panels. We find them, like if you get a really good reputable company that has zip panels that click together perfectly and cut a nice airtight seam that are as mastic together. Mm-hmm. We have found these to be unbelievable for the grow. There's no leaks of air if you're doing them right. We actually have a person we're working along with, and he has developed a pod which is fully automated. So basically what you do is you get this pod, you slide it in, it can fit up to, I think, around 45 plants. You connect your HVAC, you connect your electric, your water medium or whatever, and you close the door, and it does everything for the grow cycle. And then you open the door whenever it's time to harvest.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, it's a fully automated system. It's in its prototype stages now, but the guy is so sure. Like, he's been working on it for a couple of years, but he's so confident in his product, he's willing to supply it for nothing and install it to prove that I can grow this.
That's really cool, man.
Human error.
Mm-hmm. What, you just kind of answered my next question, but I was going to ask you, what are some technologies that you're really excited about and that you're working with in grow room design?
Well, the fully automated things seem to be the way to go to mitigate the human error, because that's where your mold comes from, is people accidentally walking into the room. I'm trying to think of the other technology. Oh, the robots that are taking the THC out of the plants. They're fascinating.
Oh, the robots? Yes. You buried the lead. What do you mean, oh, the robots? Tell me about the robots.
I think it's a couple of guys from MIT in Boston. And they have developed this robot that can look at the bud and actually, using laser, can cut the most THC out of the bud.
Whoa.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I've seen the prototype
I haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen it in action, but I'll try and get you the name of those guys, because I'm sure they'd be very, very happy for the attention and the advertising.
Oh my gosh, I would be very, 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 very excited to talk to these guys.
Oh yeah, it's definitely one of these guys. I said I've seen one of these things in person, and I'm like, wow, I have to see this thing in operation.
The cannabis robots, I'm down with that, man.
Yeah.
Do you see the market shifting anywhere in particular? You know, LEDs have just blown up. I don't know how much you involve yourself in the lighting aspects, but if you would have told me, you know, LEDs were going to be ubiquitous, just let's see, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you. And now they're everywhere. Do you see any other trends like that? I see a lot of super soil growers. Again, I don't know if that factors in so much to your work, but what trends are you seeing?
The trend at the minute is definitely the LED trend. We've been in the industry whenever the really bad LEDs were there, right up through to what we're seeing now.
Right.
There's actually a company in Rhode Island, and they have this LED that I'm speechless about, because I've lived the pain of the LEDs from whenever they were failing to where they are now, which is unbelievable.
Feel free to name drop. What are we talking about here?
Oh, Green Dot is the name of the company.
Can you spell that?
Green, G-R-E-E-N, dot, D-O-T.
Green Dot, okay.
Yes, and they manufacture to whatever specific needs you want with these high-quality LEDs that are totally programmable in every single direction. Like, the guy, you can work them from the other side of the world. And if you get talking to the guy that owns the company, a guy called Rick, he's fanatical about lights, LED, everything light and LED. And he's another character that's definitely well worth talking to about
Nice.
getting yield and stuff like that there. As I said, whenever the lights that we've seen 5 years ago to what he has produced now, and he can produce it to just about any budget, is absolutely amazing.
Nice. Green.tech, it looks like the company is.
I think so. It's based in Rhode Island, Cranston.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd love to talk to these guys.
Oh, definitely. He's as passionate as we are about building, he is about his lights.
Awesome, man. Listen, I got to wrap it up. Today's episode's a little bit shorter, but before we sign off, where can people find out more about Valiant Grow? You know, I might have some listeners who are interested in your services. So maybe a URL and then your social media. What do you got for us?
Yeah, absolutely. At Valiant America is where we're at on Instagram. Valiant-America.com is where you'll find our website.
Love it. Everybody check it out. If you're looking to get something built out, now you know where to go. Stay tuned for more Growcast. Lots of stuff coming your way that you're going to love. Let's see here. Nothing else in the pipe, guys. Just keep listening. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. This is Eamon O'Kane and Jordan River signing off, wishing you best of luck in your grow. We'll see you next time. Be safe and grow smarter. That's our show for the bonus episode this week, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. What a nice guest Eamon was, wasn't he? What do we got to wrap it up, everyone? Shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the beat for the ads, soundcloud.com/JayBlanked. Check out Start to Finish Consulting for all your consulting needs on your grow. Start the number 2, finish 710 on Instagram. Check out the merch we got going, growcastpodcast.com, click merch. And stay tuned, everyone. We got Dr. Coco coming, multiple episodes. We got Mary Beth Sanchez making a return. You guys loved her. Yeah, some really, really great Growcast friends coming back on. Jason Lupoy, some of the greatest. So stay tuned, everyone. I appreciate your subs so much. I appreciate your downloads. Really loving what's going on with the podcast. Just getting better and better, people. I hope you're having a wonderful time in your grows. And if you're facing challenges, I hope you're learning from those challenges, everyone. Happy growing, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.